Mighty God, as we continue our journey through this Epiphany season, open our hearts that we may be drawn to your Son just as we are, and by his Spirit be transformed into the children you call us to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Good morning. We ought to sing that one more. You all sounded good. So you all were all in. Maybe it's just because you made it here through the marathon. The late and good old humorist Irma Bombeck once wrote a book entitled, If I Had to Live My Life Over Again. And she lists several things in that self-reflection. I just plucked out a few as kind of an opening reflection for the sermon. She said, among many things, if I had my life to live over again, I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about the grass stains. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I wasn't there for a day. There would have been more I love yous and more I'm sorrys. But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute. Her honest self-reflection speaks an important truth. Looking at life, embracing it, enjoying it as it is often hard because we human beings spend way too much time worrying about what others think. This shows up most horribly in a surprising addiction. A spiritual writer, Anthony DeMello, devotes an entire chapter in his book, Walking on Water, to what he calls the most dangerous addiction in the world. And most of us would probably say narcotics or cocaine or perhaps heroin. But instead, he says the world's most dangerous drug is actually our need for approval, for validation. He goes on to suggest approval may not seem so harmful because when someone validates you, proves of something you've said or done or accomplished, you feel good. And all of us to some degree need to be validated. And certainly therapist offices are full of people who have been terribly damaged by parents who thought too much approval or perhaps any validation for that matter would spoil their children. So robbed of the approval they should have gotten in the bosom of their home, they seek it elsewhere, often in harmful ways. But that's where DeMello's suggestion comes in, because if you take outward validation to heart, it can begin to become a deep-seated need, a need that is only satiated with the next attaboy. Now, while there may have been other times in history when the need for validation is prevalent, in my observation, it's never been worse than it is right now. Now, I'm going to confess and give you a caveat. I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have a Twitter or Instagram account. I don't really engage in that. Any social media, that's not a judgment. I just don't do it, don't have time for it, not interested in it. I have children who do it, and it is fun to see what they are, maybe what my grandkids are doing. It can be harmless. It can be just kind of a hobby. Or it can be, frankly, demonic, as we saw last week when a group of thugs posted a video of themselves physically abusing a disabled man in Chicago, put that on their Facebook page. But never, I think, have we had a time in history when kind of this need to be immediately gratified by what we say or post or tweet becomes the most common pastime of a person's day. You and I see it all the time. It's all around us. It's on 610. I turn over in traffic, see people doing this, trying to drive, but they're doing this while they drive. I'm tempted to do a little swerve, but that wouldn't be very Christian. Not too long ago in Psychology Today, there was an article about a study of students who sought to go without social media for 24 hours. And the study reported that among many things, their feelings included these: fretful, confused, anxious, irritable, insecure, nervous, restless, crazy, addicted, panicked, jealous, angry, lonely, dependent, depressed, jittery, and paranoid. 24 hours. And the article also reported that it is harder for many people to stop their addiction to social media than it is to stop smoking or drinking. Why? Why this addiction? Why this need? Well, when deeper needs are not met, then we tend to find ways to feed that need. And what makes you feel better than to know you're validated? But is there ever an end? Does getting a like or a thumbs up on your social post heal the need to be validated? No. No, it really doesn't. It usually only feeds the need for more validation. It's a long quote, but it's one worth hearing. Therapist Thomas Moore written a book about our times. I commend it to you. It's called Care of the Soul. And in it, he writes, "The great malady of our time implicated in all of our troubles and affecting us individually and socially is actually loss of soul. When soul is neglected, it doesn't just go away. It appears symptomatically in obsessions and addictions and violence and loss of meaning. The emotional complaints of our time, complaints, he says, we therapists hear every day in our office, include emptiness, meaninglessness, vague depression, disillusionment about marriage and family and relationships, loss of values, yearning for personal fulfillment. All of these symptoms reflect a loss of soul and let us know what the soul craves. We yearn excessively for entertainment and power and intimacy and sexual fulfillment and material things, and we think we can find these things if we discover the right relationship or job or right church or right therapy. But without soul, he says, whatever we find will be unsatisfying. For what we truly long for is the soul in each of these areas. And lacking that soulfulness, we attempt to gather these alluring satisfactions to us in great masses, thinking apparently that quantity will make up for a lack of quality." Now enter David, the author of today's psalm. Now, the Psalms are a journal, really, of what a priest or a therapist might hear in the confessional of the office. If you're looking for a gritty, honest collection of prayers to God, I bid you to read the Psalms. There are 150 of them. If you're looking for a good pre-Lenten exercise or New Year's resolution, you could commit to reading one a day with the exception of 119 because it has 176 verses, but you could kind of split that up. It's not full completely of sweetness and light. It's a collection of honest prayers, many of them written by David, that include the full range of human emotions: anger, grief, confession, loss, despair, confusion. But you also find joy and hopefulness and praise and celebration. And there are also some answers to the deep need we humans have to be validated. In today's psalm that Judge Wooldridge read for us just a moment ago, David's in a slump. A big one. He calls it a desolate pit of mire and clay. What on earth does David have to be down about? I mean, he's a king. He has wealth. He has power. He seems to have an unfettered relationship with God. But something's got to him. Something's eating away at him. He's down in the dumps. And if you know David's story, and I hope you do, he had a real need to be liked. His need to be validated by a woman that was not his wife led him to adultery and murder. If you didn't know that story, I bet you're going to go look it up now. If David had an Instagram account, had the prophet Nathan not confronted him, he probably would have been posting photos of himself with Bathsheba. But why today's funk? We don't know. But this we don't know. David's reflection that he offers for us here shows us that when it came down to brass tacks, the only place he could turn to was to the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of that desolate pit, out of that mire and clay. He set my feet upon a high cliff and made my footing sure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And then our tagline or takeaway line for today, if you will, happy are they who trust in the Lord. Happy are they who trust in the Lord. Another way of saying that might be, happy are they who have been validated by the Lord. Because frankly, the validation we gain from anything other than God will simply rob us of the validation that will in the end take away our need for every other form of validation. What is that? It's the love of God. It may seem kind of simple, but it's true. Go all the way back to the opening pages of Genesis, and what delighted God was his creation. The only like Adam and Eve needed was God's like, and the only love that sustained them was his love. But the moment that they turned from his love, a fissure was opened in the human saga, for the hunger for something other than God in the garden, and therein opened all the dark hungers of the human soul. But it didn't mean, nor does it, that God gave up. In fact, finally, he stooped as a person. He came and lived and died and rose among us in the face of Jesus Christ to show his love for us. And that was the ultimate validation. He could do nothing more than that to tell you how much he loves you. Some of you know the name Sam Keen. He's a modern writer and philosopher. He's plumbed the depths on questions of meaning and life and faith. And he's been fairly honest that he wasted much of his early life seeking the outward approval of others. He referred to the human sojourn outside of a life of inner peace, that void of the need for temporal validation, as kind of living in exile, as being separated from home, the place he really wanted to be. He said, frankly, his own story, he speaks of wasting his substance like the prodigal son. He said when he was in college, he made a conscious decision to satiate his need to be validated by excelling academically. He focused on the goal of getting a PhD. And once he achieved that, he still hungered for something more. So he set out to be a well-known professor, then a well-known speaker, then get his name on the spine of a book, and all the popularity that came with that. But with each level of achievement, he only had a deeper sense of dissatisfaction. Momentary success was just that. It was just momentary. And one night after some speaking engagement, Keen says that he got back to his hotel room in Manhattan, and he was just overwhelmed with this feeling of desolation. And he got down on his knees, and he cried out, "What can I do that will give dignity and meaning to my life? What can I do?" Hang on to that. And at that moment, he said, it was as if a finger wrote the words before his very eyes, "Nothing. You can't do a thing. Nothing at all." And what finally broke through his feverish anguish was the realization that all along he had been obsessed with the wrong goal. He had been looking for purpose and meaning from his own hands. And at the bottom of his need, nothing he could do could give him the meaning and dignity he wanted. For these are not things that you can achieve. They're not things you can earn. They're given. They're given as a grace of God. Meaning validation, if you will, is not contingent on human effort. It is given to us by the love of God made manifest in Jesus Christ. Sam Keen admits that that night, he had been riding on an ox looking for an ox. What Sam was looking for, he had already, the love of God. And when he realized that, he stopped becoming an exile and started finding his way home. Happy are those who have been validated by the Lord. If we want meaning and purpose in our lives, we're just not going to find them if the validation we seek comes from anyone or any place but God. Now listen, it's not easy. We all like to be liked. We all like validation. Why do you think I stand at the door and shake your hand at the end of the service? Not to be validated, to be checking on you. I read the reviews of St. Martin's Cafe. We're on Yelp. I get good reviews. I like to get letters from you that tell you you had a moving experience in worship, or our staff reached out to you when you were in a time of need. I'm very happy to show you photos of my children and grandchildren, but when you smile with me, when we kind of agree on those points, I actually feel kind of validated. But that kind of attaboy is temporary. And frankly, it can become a demon that will rob you of seeing what you need to see, what you need to know, that God loves you enough to chase after you, to die for you, to rise for you. We usually sing this hymn at communion, but we just sang it, you sang it very well, right before and after the gospel lesson, Just As I Am. If you've ever been to Billy Graham Crusade, I went to a couple back in the 1980s, and you know it's the hymn that is played at the close of Graham's message as those attending are invited to come and commit or recommit their lives to Jesus Christ in prayer. It was written in 1834, but it first appeared in an oddly named hymnal, the Invalid's Hymn Book, published in 1841. We don't use the word invalid now to refer to those who are disabled, but in today's verbiage, we would say its author, Charlotte Elliott, was in fact disabled. Now, early in life, she was full. She was a very bubbly personality. She was a child of an Anglican priest, had a great sense of humor, and she actually wrote articles on humor for a paper in London until she fell ill at the age of 32, and then she never fully recovered. And though her condition often left her depressed, she would turn that back to her Lord, our Lord, in prayer again and again. And later in life, she moved to Brighton with her brother, Henry Elliott, now an Anglican priest himself. And Henry had this grand vision to build a school for children of clergymen, and on one occasion organized a bazaar to help raise money for the cause. And her family and friends had put all kinds of things together, things they had stitched and jellies and all that. And they were headed out to the bazaar, toting this array of items that they had made to sell to help raise money. But sadly, Charlotte, because of her condition, wasn't able to attend. And in fact, she wasn't able to make anything to be sold at the bazaar. She felt like she had nothing to offer, nothing whatsoever. The invalid in the world's eyes felt, frankly, invalidated. And she was left alone in the home. And in those hours that followed, no doubt she probably felt like David. She could have written her own psalm. She felt like she was in a pit of mire and clay. So, as she had done so many times before, she began to pray and pray deeply. She just laid it all at the Lord's feet. What had she to offer, this invalid, to God? She just felt completely alone and worthless. But in her prayer, in that place all alone, God lifted her up and reminded her of her need for him and need for home. And so she offered herself to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then she began to write these words that we just sung, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, yea, all I need in thee to find. Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone. Just as I am of that free love, here for a season, then above. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. And so the one who felt an invalid was validated by a God who took her home just as she was. Oh, happy are those who trust in the Lord. Happy are those who find their validation in Him. Happy, really happy, deep down happy are those who trust in the Lord. Frankly, it doesn't matter a hill of beans who you are in the world's eyes to God, because in His eyes, you are His beloved child. If you can open your heart to that divine love, if you can pray, just as I am, I come, and let that meeting between divine and your need come together, let it validate you once and for all, you will be on your way home. It's the only validation you really need. Amen.